With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Harris Stadium time is 8:27 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, which is harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. I am Son of Crow. You can call me Drew. You can call me Crow. But you can really find me at Son of Crow on Venmo. To my left, we're in a weird arrangement because we're back in town in East Alabama watching a football game all together, sitting on the couch like dudes being bros. To my left, the statistician, the guy with the hottest opinions, at Ryan S. Starrett. Ryan Starrett, the S stands for Show Me Something, Dabo.
The S stands for Shootout Tonight.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is going crazy.
And to his left, bringing you that Fort Payne ASMR that you pay so much for this podcast for, the guy who's got his own Patreon page he just hadn't let us know about, AU Chief. Like and subscribe.
Never underestimate a droid.
5 stars only. Make sure you give us some reviews on iTunes.
Click that bell.
Click that bell.
Are we on Spotify?
Crow, stars are overrated. Come on. You just got to get the right guys.
That's true. We only care about the 5-star reviews. We really want the 2-star review we can coach up into a 5.
Are we on Spotify?
Yeah. Yes, man. We're on.
Click that bell. Apparently, this was the whole thing on a sister podcast, The Verge. I think I can say that right. We're
sure.
We're on the same network. Bucks.
Probably heard an ad for that on our show.
Sister podcast, The Verge.
They just kept joking about that in their CES coverage about click the bell. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys watch YouTube. YouTube people are the worst.
Yeah, you really
with their over-enthusiasm, you know, it's terrible.
You
got to
go on camera.
You always say the same things. They all say, click that bell in the corner right there.
Like and subscribe.
I have a pretty good idea for a YouTube channel. I'm going to run this by you guys.
Okay.
So it's called Crow Makes a Mess.
Mm-hmm.
And then has another show called Crow Cleans Up a Mess. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent a storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put like a... I'm going to get carpet squares from like the Habitat Restore. Fill it with like the lightest colored carpet I can find.
Okay.
Then, episode one, I'm just going to bust a bottle of red wine all over this carpet. And then just go through like throw pizza on the ground. Just make an enormous mess.
It sounds like a great place for you to store your bodies.
Episode one,
clean it up.
Crow makes a mess. Episode two, I go and I like figure out ways to get stains out of rug, blah, blah, blah. Crow cleans up the mess. Episode three, I make another giant mess. I think people would watch completely silent.
Oh, yeah. So like the...
There's no audio or dialogue.
Weird Japanese and Korean things where they do things on
absolutely. Like an unboxing video.
Yeah.
No, I think you need to have audio, but to do the ASMR. You're not talking at all, but just the sounds of you scrubbing
the
carpet.
Right.
Oh, maybe.
I got to send you these videos of this guy that makes knives out of different materials.
Sure.
Like milk.
The internet is great.
It's weird.
But I think people would tune in... people would tune into this nonsense because, I mean, I've seen my nephews watch some just the weirdest stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's some Japanese kid who's making millions and all he does is playing with toys.
Yeah.
That's it. He just plays. I could make a mess better than most people on Earth.
Podcasting is so last year.
Yeah, man. I got to get this YouTube channel going. Crow makes a mess.
Sounds like a good idea.
I think, what if I wear a mask? Now we're like into this weird. I'm wearing a mask.
You gotta make it as weird as possible.
And like a jumpsuit.
This is much easier than trying to be super enthusiastic.
Right? Really no. Enthusiastic I got right. some weird like, and I come out and just make a mess.
Russian techno music.
Yeah, sure.
Russian techno.
What'd you say?
Is it like a luchador mask?
See that? Yeah, I was thinking like a horse face.
Or if you're a rubber horse like the 1700s medicine man.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to have some furries there assisting you?
Oh, okay. You can't put that on YouTube.
That's a weird video. Anyway, if you think, like and subscribe to Crow Makes a Mess,
Are we done talking Star Wars?
Leave your answers in the comments. We didn't talk Star Wars on the
recording. Well, we were doing that before the show, and then
pre-show,
if we were done or not.
I mean, pre-show banter.
Full disclosure, we're watching the national championship game, I think.
We're not describing it, because all descriptions and audio depictions of this game have to be cleared by the Major League Baseball.
If they listen to our podcast.
We could describe, it'll be tomorrow, so we're actually describing a past event.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Man. I don't see why not. Hey,
so Star Wars,
we have some breaking news, though.
Oh, we do.
Our breaking news.
Cutting off Star Wars.
That's our breaking news sounder. You want to hear it again? Clean. This is for Jack. This is going to be clean. Breaking news. There, you can keep that, Jack. Use that whenever you want. Auburn is hiring an offensive line coach.
Yeah.
So, that's really great.
He's a guy that almost beat us in, what was that? 2001.
According to James, that was 2001.
Yeah.
With
right after we beat number one Florida. He took us to overtime with his little old Louisiana Tech team.
And then he went and coached in the NFL.
Do we want to say his name? No. It's Jack Bicknell Jr.
Bicknell?
Bicknell. B-I-C-K-E-L-L.
I read it as Bucknell.
Jack
Bucknell.
And his dad coached as well? Oh, he's a football guy. Jack Bicknell Jr. I will give you $100.
JJ.
And I have no money, but I'll give you $100.
Okay.
Hard currency. If in the first interview, somebody's going to interview him.
Sure.
He will
Marcella.
Talk about how he wants to play hard-nosed, smash-mouth football.
Well, yeah.
If he doesn't do that, I'll give you $100.
No, I'll do it.
I can't wait for the first coach to be like, we're going to try to be soft. And I really like passing the ball. We're just gonna, pass block, and
he's just gonna
really hope
to
finesse him.
He's gonna want
to
be a dude being a guy.
Yeah,
he played at Boston College.
He's a dude being a guy.
Being a guy, being a dude.
Just talking about bros being dudes, being guys with my friends.
Oh, geez. The She-Ras look a little different tonight,
guys. We have big time Auburn basketball games to talk about.
Yeah.
Your Auburn. Speaking of which, I hope everybody was safe during that storm. It came in. It was in freaking tense.
Yeah.
And then it was gone.
Gone quick. Yeah. I was glad it was moving fast. It ran sideways at my house for like 10, 15 minutes.
That's pretty cool. My house had a lot of trees.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It was pretty crazy to see some of the tops
of those
trees.
It was nap time in our house. My wife was taking a nap. My son was taking a nap. And I had to wait. I had to pick my son up out of the crib. And he's way too old to be in a crib, but he's still in a crib. And brought him downstairs and had to go wake my wife up. Because she was in our master bedroom's like one of the only places that's very close to big pine trees that could fall.
Yeah. Well, it was nap time here, and I was more on the line of, I really hope the storm doesn't wake my kid up.
Yeah.
Because we had just put her down.
Yeah.
But we got like 3 pine cones hit our roof.
Oh,
at
scary.
Such speed
that
we all were like, well, that's it. We're dead. Like,
that's
it. Okay. Woo. It sounded like, it sounded like a shotgun. But someone was shooting a shotgun.
When we used to live in the trailer, you heard that little tin roof? Oh, man. That's a way to wake up.
I mean, this is coming through the attic and then through the ceiling. And it's still so loud.
The year I lived in a trailer was the biggest nightmare of my life during tornado season. I would just leave. I'd go out. I'm like, I'd rather just drive around where I can run from it. But yeah, it was pretty scary. But luckily, I think they saw some rotation out in the Waverly area. But that was about it.
In the words of Auburn alum Jimmy Buffett, I'm just glad I don't live in a trailer.
Yeah,
that's from the song "Son of a Sailor," which is one of his best songs. Oh. We can do it. It's my Jimmy Buffett podcast. I could do that easily.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a Jimmy Buffett podcast called "Cheeseburger and a Pair of Guys," in which me and somebody just talk about Jimmy Buffett.
You and Alan McNew.
You say cheeseburger or cheeseburger and a pair of guys?
Buffett guy.
Cheeseburger and a pair of guys. It could also be a.
It's like
a club for people of a different lifestyle than me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cheeseburger and a pair of guys. So, we.
Love is love.
Girl. Love is love. Whatever you're into, you're into. Last week, Auburn beat 2 teams that I really love beating in basketball.
Yeah?
First off, they beat the Vanderbilt Commodores, coached by Jerry Stackhouse.
I mean, that is incredible. Jerry Stackhouse.
I believe that the AD at Vandy used to be Jerry Stackhouse's agent.
Gotta be, right?
I think that's true.
It's true. So he got hired.
How's an agent in AD?
Well, he's an attorney. A lot of ADs are former attorneys. Okay. You're either a former attorney or you're a former coach, or you're a former like a fundraiser. Those are kind of your three.
I thought it might have just been a reaction to Memphis hiring Penny Hardaway.
Well, it might have been, but at least you know, Penny had never coached at a major level besides AAU.
Right.
Stack was the NBA G League Coach of the Year.
Oh, okay.
For the Raptors team.
Did he fight anybody as
the... No, I don't think he did. Okay. The whole time I'm watching him going, he's going to punch somebody right in the face. Him and Bruce are going to throw down. I don't think Bruce has a chance. So...
Can we talk about...
Keys is hurt. He couldn't jump in.
No. Later, so. Otherwise, I would maybe take Keys. Keys is a little younger.
That's why they need to bring Horace back.
Oh. Yeah, just as an enforcer on the bench.
You got to see Horace get hung up on the rim. And then,
Yeah.
Well, he tried to jump from like the free throw line, though. And then
Horace was a little clumsy. Is that what you're saying?
And then he joked on himself on Twitter.
Yeah, so it's a top 10 recruit in the history of the school, Horace Spencer. That's probably targeting. Nope.
No, just in the ribs.
Okay. Vanderbilt was KenPom 161 going into the game, so that's not...
Not great.
Cushiest. I mean, that's not the best bump to our schedule. Yeah. We probably went down in KenPom after beating them.
Only beat them by four. That doesn't look great.
But that game...
Wins a win, though.
Wins a win, and you got to win those games.
Oh!
I would have loved it more had we beat them in their weird sideways...
I hate that place. We don't have to... Drama club. Do we have to play there this year?
No. Just the one game this year.
Thank
you. Isaac Okoro went off.
But did he? Whoa,
23 points. And they were all big-time points. It wasn't like he had 23 threes.
The game for Isaac that just regular Joe Schmoes figured out, this guy's really good.
Yeah. If you want to follow a really good NBA Twitter, NBA draft Twitter guy, there's a guy who's, I can't remember what his actual Twitter handle is, but his name on Twitter is TS Percentage Elliot. Which is a great basketball.
Perfect.
Like true shooting percentage, Elliot. But he is awesome, and he is really high on Isaac Okoro. Like,
well,
top five pick in the draft high.
SB Nation guys had him at number four.
He was that high on him preseason, I think.
He's playing like a top five pick right now. I mean.
And this draft is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's the worst. People are saying this is the worst NBA draft. I've read a lot of guys saying this is the NBA draft, so I can get a lot of GMs fired because people are going to go, you're the number two pick in the draft, and because there's just not a lot. And so this is the draft.
Wasn't that the same thing that people said last year? It's like, after Zion.
And they were right. This NBA rookie class is horrible.
And then this one's worse?
This one's worse in terms of, like, there's not a Zion or a John Morant. Like, there's not, like, at least last year's draft had two guys that were...
You gotta remember, Chuma's hurt, so he can't help this rookie class.
Sure.
And Jared's slumming it in
G League MVP.
You realize Jared is... They don't have a G League All-Star game anymore.
Yeah.
If they still did, he would be easily in it.
He might be the best player in the G League.
I mean, he's leading the G League with 20-point games. Anyway, we beat Dum Dum Vanderbilt 83-79. Their best player, Saben Lee, who's a talent.
Not their best player.
Sorry.
He's second
best.
He
didn't even start.
Yeah, but Saben Lee's an NBA player. He's playing in the league next year. I don't know why Stack's not starting him.
He played like 35 minutes, so I don't know what that was about.
I wonder if it's some sort of weird suspension we just don't know about.
Yeah.
But he had 27 points. He can flat out.
He had those points because we were smothering Naismith.
I like Saben Lee a lot. Naismith is a really good player, too. And 5 points at the half means... We went into that game going, that dude's not beating us.
Oh, yeah. And he did.
And he didn't.
No. He got his points.
He will beat some team. They're not... My biggest prediction for Vandy is they're not going 0 for the SEC.
Well, he's hurt.
He's done.
Yeah.
For a while.
That's the second year in a row their best player got hurt.
No, they still got Saben Lee.
But I still don't think they're going 0 for the SEC.
You know who else they have? Scottie Pippen Jr.
Who didn't look that bad, but except for the airball free throw.
Airball the free throw, and I'm pretty sure his father drew up some papers to disown him.
I don't think Scottie Pippen, the senior, never airballed a free throw. But, I mean, I really think Scottie Pippen Jr. and Saben Lee are going to beat a conference opponent this year. That's my bold prediction is that Vanderbilt
they're not
wins
as bad
a
as they were
game.
Last year. They're not as bad as they were last year.
Yeah, Auburn had a 14-point lead in that game and really let the
foot
off the gas.
Yeah,
it got close. I mean, they were just shooting lights out, though. That's how it happened. They hit a ton of threes.
And Auburn had no bench points. Ryan has that on the notes.
Yeah, so basically, if you consider McLemore as a starter, because he's playing starter minutes.
Yeah, that's
because he had 14 points in this game, so that changes things. But other than that, the three other guys, Cambridge, Jamal Johnson, and Flanagan, they only had 2 points. Yeah. Sorry, 5 points between the three of them.
Yeah.
Look, Auburn's undefeated, and it's not time to second-guess coach. But I'm confused as to why Williams is not.
Yeah, Jalen Williams.
He's an offensive player.
So, Bruce spoke about him after the next game we're going to talk about, and basically said he's the fourth guy for the position that he would play. And
he's behind all the seniors.
He praised him for, he's like, you know, most guys would just, they give up, or they just shut it down and transfer
out. Yeah.
And he's still working hard and wants to be here.
What year is he?
He's a freshman. True freshman.
That's right.
Yeah. So
he's a little old school with the short shorts.
He's a candidate for my favorite player. This is why I initially took to Malik his first year, because he didn't wear any accoutrements.
Yes,
he just had the regular uniform, his short shorts on. He didn't have any tattoos at the time, which was unique. I'm not against tattoos or anything. I was like, man, this guy just
clean
like
cut.
Clean living over here,
right?
And
then he came in and just yammed on people.
and you know, he was always smiling and stuff too, right. Like that. And Jalen Williams is similar in that he looks very old school, like Ryan said. Just got a shirt tucked in just perfect and short shorts on. And
Okoro, though, he doesn't know how to tuck a shirt in.
Yeah, I know. The refs are like always after him about tucking his shirt in.
So the feds are watching.
The funny thing in this game was all season long we've been talking about, you know, if they don't start hitting free throws, that's going to cost them a game. That won them the game.
Since they, whatever, brought in a sports psychologist or whatever they said they did. Since that tweet or whatever, that article about that came out, they've been hitting free throws left and right.
Yeah.
Whatever that sports psychologist was selling them, they bought, and it worked.
It got a little rough against Mississippi State. We weren't as good in that game.
That was
Mississippi
before,
State, we were fine. Wasn't it was the Georgia game that we struggled with.
Oh, that's what I meant, Georgia.
Well,
sorry.
Unless your name was the Austin Wiley.
Austin Wiley.
He was shooting like 55% going into that game. Yeah. And now he's shooting like 70-something%.
Oh, you're talking about Mississippi State.
No, I'm talking about Georgia.
No, he was 2-4 Georgia.
Yeah, he's 2-4 Georgia.
But no, it was he was 9-10 against Vandy.
That's what I'm talking about, Vandy. He was 9-10.
I think he had hit like maybe 7-9 or something.
I want to say he missed his double-double because he missed his free throws.
Yeah, his free throw percentage in conference this year is worlds better than his free throw percentage for his career.
Sure. No, he's doing great. I'm not trying to criticize him about that. After hitting 14 in a row, he's probably shot 60% since then. But that's
60% is fine. I think at the season I want to say he's 70% right now.
The refs were letting old Hammonds get away with murder underneath.
It's going to happen with Wiley. He's too big.
He didn't get sent to the line as much. So yeah,
it's going
to
happen with Wiley when you're that big. Like even Shaq would used to say that like as many times as he got fouled.
Yeah,
he probably actually got fouled twice as many times.
Right.
Because when you're that big, they let a lot.
Well, that's something Austin, if he wants to play at the next level, that's something he's going to have to get used to. Because you've got to get murdered to get a foul call.
In the NBA, you don't get anything on there.
Chief, you'll appreciate this. He's gotten up 69% on the season.
Nice.
Well, that's up from like 50. Now, LSU, in this game, guys, a lot of their receivers are wearing these Odell Beckham Jr. cleats that they've made for this game. In LSU colors, a la the Cam Newton Peach Bowl cleats.
Yes.
So I always think that's cool when a guy who went to college at that school. Yeah. But what people forget is that Odell Beckham Jr. was underutilized for the LSU Tigers.
Just a bit.
To say the least.
Edwards
hilarious.
That was a hell of a play right there.
Beast. All right. So then we went on to beat the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, we didn't just beat
the Georgia Bulldogs. We did not feel the Bulldog bite.
It's a brunch beating.
We just annihilated the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, man.
Brunch beating.
A brunch beating. Man.
Due to inclement weather, they moved this game up to 11, which had me, I was like, oh, man. And it was pretty late to move it up.
Yeah, it was Friday afternoon, wasn't it?
Oh, boy. And I was just like, oh, man, this is going to just throw. I wasn't worried like I would be if the football game got moved up to 11.
Yeah, Jefferson ended this guy's career right here with this move.
Let's see. Whoop! Oh.
Oh, and he fell down. Anyway, we beat him.
That's what you get for having white DBs. Anyway.
Anyway, oh, man, that's a hot take. The views of AU Chief are not the views of Vox Media or the Will college. Herring,
no offense, Will Herring or Rob Pate. They were great players.
Anyway.
Dr. Rob Pate, my high doctor.
There you go.
The UGA Bulldogs came into Auburn with a guy named Anthony Edwards, who Goose himself, who might be one of the top 10 picks in the NBA draft.
And looked quite average for most of the game.
Yeah, man, you know who he reminds me of? My buddy and I were talking about this. Buddy Jamie. Shout out to Jamie and Charlotte, Baylor fan. He's Colin Sexton, man. Like, I don't really get it at this point.
Hang on.
He's really, really good. I know he's really good.
Can we rewind this from last week when I was kind of saying, hey, like, he's talented, but his numbers aren't great. Yeah. And Crow, you're like, oh, no, he's good.
He's really good. Don't get me wrong. And, like, NBA players, NBA GMs aren't idiots. He's really good. He's probably going to get taken in the top 15. But he misses so many shots. And in today's NBA, I don't really know what you do with that.
So he's
going to
be a perfect fit on the Hawks.
Yeah. Well,
him and Trae Young, just chucking everything
just
up.
Chuck it up there, buddy.
Because it's not like Russell Westbrook, people would compare him to Russ in that he's a high usage guy who isn't super efficient. Russ is outrageously efficient compared to this dude, and Russ passes the rock. This dude, Anthony Edwards, is a scorer, which is awesome. Anthony Edwards, if this was 1999, is the number one pick in the draft.
He reminds me of Marquise a little bit.
Yeah. He's the number one pick in the draft, the 99 draft, and he is Allen Iverson type, Kobe, I'm shooting every time I get the ball, everybody get out of my way. That type player, volume shooter. He's the kind of player a lot of guys think they love. And a lot of GMs still love. They're enamored by that points per game stat.
Yeah.
But, man, and I still think he's a
good
player.
I mean, he just ran into the Auburn buzzsaw this week, too.
Yeah, but, bro, he shoots not a – he shoots a great – Ryan was saying last week – touchdown LSU.
Jesus.
Like, Ryan was saying last week, like, he doesn't – he scores a ton of points. And
because
he
had 40% usage in this game.
He puts up some gaudy usage percentages.
And he scored how many points did he end up with? 17?
18 points, which is right on a season average.
He scored 13 of those after they were getting blown out by 20 points.
Right. Yeah, he had, I think, 3 or 5 going into the half. 3 points going into the half.
He had 5 with about 6 minutes.
He had 5 before garbage time. And you could effectively say garbage time started with 6 minutes left in the game.
I'll put it this way. I was way more worried about Hammonds, and I expressed that in our site in this
and
game.
Hammonds was he was going off early in the game, and then he got foul trouble.
Dude is huge, can play inside, and can shoot the three. So this guy's got to be a NBA, like a pick this year, right?
Hammonds might be a pick. But also,
no?
I don't know.
I haven't seen much about him.
If Edwards just made his free throws in this game, like, he's not a bad free throw shooter.
Right. I was surprised when you said he was 75% on the season.
Yeah.
He was, what was he, 20%?
Right. Because, look, if he makes 75% of his free throws,
it's a game.
He's sitting there now. He's not got 5 going into 6 minutes. He's got probably like 15 because he shot a ton of free throws.
Well, and it's a close game.
I don't know why I can't make this shit.
Yeah. He's losing his mind.
Yeah.
And as a person, I am not a good free throw shooter. And there would be times where I play basketball and it would just be like, look, I can't do it today. Whatever it is, I cannot make this.
I wonder if there's another team that is as good defensively as we are as a team.
Baylor's pretty good defensively.
Are they?
You know why they're good defensively?
What's that?
Auburn transfer.
Oh.
Davion Mitchell.
Who a lot of my Baylor friends think is the best on-ball defender in America. And I tell them, like, hey, man, he might be. It's Isaac Okoro now.
Yeah.
But, like, because Bruce, when he was recruited, was like, this is the best on-ball defender
we've
got,
blah.
And now he's saying the same things about Okoro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mitchell's incredible.
But we also have Samir, who's an excellent defender. And
Dangelo's turned into a really good
man.
Dangelo,
and he's, I could be wrong here, I'd say he's a lot better off-ball.
Yeah, he really is.
Dangelo has turned it on at the right time, and if he can keep this up.
Dangelo has got that defense that kind of you don't get until you've just seen a ton of basketball.
Right. Yeah.
And because he went to a military academy after high school. So he's now, 22?
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's a year younger than me.
I thought he just went to prep school.
He went to prep school a year after high school.
But I thought he was still 17 when he went. Yeah.
I mean, he's 4 years removed from his high school graduation already.
He's the game could not be any slower.
This is his fifth year at Auburn, though. Right?
Fifth year.
So really 6 years removed from his high school graduation. He was in the
recruiting class ahead of Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been out of high school for 6 years.
Yeah.
He has seen a lot of high level basketball. And so there's not a lot. Basketball is not like football. Nobody's throwing out some bizarre, exotic offensive package that you don't know what to do. There's like 9 plays.
Yeah.
Like 9 or 10 plays.
Unless you run up against an awful team like Virginia.
Yeah. Are there's like, doing well, some even weird that,
crap.
That's their defense. Their offense is super simple. There's like some very unique out of bounds plays. But as far as half court offense, there's like 9 or 10 plays.
Yeah.
And he's seen them all.
Oh, it wasn't.
And he knows how to defend them all. I've really been impressed with D'Angelo's
defense. Yeah, no, D'Angelo.
Well, something with his size and athleticism. He just has to try, and he can be a really good
player. We didn't talk about how he won the Vandy game for us.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, with that inbounds play.
Yeah.
So we talked about Okoro being a really good defender, but he wasn't the only guy that covered Anthony Edwards in this game. It was pretty evenly split between him, Samir, and Alan Flanagan.
Yep.
Who had an amazing game.
Alan Flanagan is... I like to think, when I see him come in the game, I think of him as like 3-year Okoro. Like, what would like an Isaac Okoro type look like who will play at Auburn for at least 3 years?
Sure.
And that's what he is. Like, he's just a tiny drop off from Okoro in terms of his skill set, his abilities.
He's a well rounded guy that by year three could be as good as Isaac Okoro.
Yeah. By year three could see himself find himself on some weird draft board.
Well, and right now he's not as talented as the best guys in the country.
No.
But he's just playing his butt off every time he's on the court. And
He's got a lot of confidence. Yeah. The other night, the reason he didn't have a lot of points or any more points in that Vandy game is he got 3 really quick fouls.
Yeah.
And he got those quick fouls because the refs looked up and realized the foul count was like 9-3. And so they just called the next 3 things they saw, and it was all Alan Fleming. That was just bad luck on his part.
But I was kind of dogging him a little bit before the Georgia game, and his PER has been awful.
Yeah.
He's like a 4 PER.
Yeah.
After the Georgia game, he doubled it to 8.
It's good.
It's good. He struggled earlier in the season, but he's a freshman and he wasn't a highly touted guy. He's the kind of guy that if he's coming along well, that helps tremendously down the stretch.
He's like his dad, man. Like, his dad was just a solid player for the Tigers, and that's
he has something.
He's the one with the lefty, right? He's a lefty.
Yeah,
yeah. In the 88,
interesting jump shot.
Yeah. In the 1988 All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game,
mm-hmm.
The Dallas Mavericks had a player named Rolando Blackman.
Mm-hmm.
Great player. He's on the line to win the game. Free throw line to win the 88 All-Star game. And the reason why I know this is not because I'm a Mavs fan. It's because there's a hilarious GIF and also like YouTube video of this moment. So he needs to make one free throw to win the game. If he misses it, the game is tied. He gets up to the line and he yells, "Confidence, baby, confidence," and shoots it, makes it, they win. And sometimes, man, confidence, baby, confidence is what you need.
He is a kid that you can tell has just been in basketball his entire life. Not just playing on the playground. Like the dude has just wanted to be a basketball player like his grandfather, like his dad, his entire life. Will probably be a coach one day, and he knows his basketball.
And basketball is one of those sports similar. I mean, football is the same way. I mean, every sport probably is too. There are so many things you learn literally just by being around the game.
Right.
The more you are around the game, the more you are around coaches, the more you are around people who just sit around and talk ball, the better you're going to be even playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see guys who are like, oh, it's their second year playing organized basketball. And it's obvious sometimes. Like, even, like, a guy like, what's his name for the Sixers? I can't remember his name. Not Ben Simmons, the center. Joel Embiid. He's only been playing basketball like 8 years or less. And you can kind of tell there are some things he still doesn't, he's never seen before.
Right.
Whereas Alan Flanagan has played more basketball.
He's probably been playing basketball since he could walk.
Yeah, he's seen more basketball in his life than I have.
Yeah.
And I'm twice his age almost.
Well, and he's had people around him that could teach him things that your regular, like, even like, I don't think Isaac Okoro, I don't know Isaac Okoro's background, but I doubt he was at home talking to a coach about basketball, you know?
And then like, had his dad.
My phone just fell on the ground.
It'd be in NBA locker rooms. And
right.
Yeah. Just
growing up with anything he ever wanted to know.
He plays like that guy. He's a guy that would still be playing Division I basketball if he wasn't built like a Division I basketball player.
And Alan Flanagan's a big dude, too.
He's built like an SEC basketball player. Or linebacker.
he could play outside defensive end for Gus.
So one more guy I want to talk about before we move on to the next couple games is Anthony McLemore,
Against Georgia.
I felt like he's
always great against Georgia.
Yeah.
He's always
all great. The Georgia guys usually are. Yeah. No, but he was kind of underutilized the last couple weeks. Like, he just hadn't been taking a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure enough, since we talked about it, I think he hit all but maybe one of his 2-point attempts this week between two games.
Maybe.
I mean, he had
one of the most underrated plays of the year is he put the ball on the floor, went up and under the basket.
Yeah.
And just dunked all. Yeah. Oh, my God.
To break the scoring against Georgia.
My goodness.
And he's a slump buster in a lot of ways. Yeah. A lot of times he'll break a scoring drought for Auburn.
And, Kurt, what was Georgia trying to accomplish? I mean, coming out of the half, maybe? Where it was
that like, trap they were trying
to... Yeah, so there was three straight possessions where Mac was just alone wide under the basket.
Open. They were trying to trap him.
Okay, I guess I'll dunk it because there's no one here.
They were trying to run a trap. Vanderbilt did the same thing.
Yeah.
And what it turned into a Vanderbilt was if you got past the outside defenders, you had Okoro with a dunk, and then the next play, D'Angelo with the dunk. Mm-hmm. If people are trying.
And this time it was just they were leaving Anthony alone.
They're trying to run a trap on the outside, which means two defenders are being keyed in on one guy with the ball. And if you double team somebody, somebody's wide open. And so if you get past that trap, it's church. You get past that trap, it literally is one guy is wide open, and you leave the guy furthest from the ball open because he's the least dangerous guy. Well,
I don't think Auburn has
the off-speed next to the basket.
I don't think Auburn has the least dangerous guy.
Well, the guy without the ball is less dangerous than the guy with the ball.
Sure, that's true.
And the guy furthest from the ball.
Right.
But
as good as Auburn's been at the basket this year, you can't really afford to leave somebody alone near the basket.
Well, and the thing that Auburn's done... We're not a great three-point shooting team.
Jesus, Joe.
But we're a pretty darn good corner three-point shooting team. Yeah. And so
they're taking the right shots.
Yeah. So not just the corner three is the same distance in college as it is the top of the key three, which is different than the NBA.
So something I've been thinking
But the corner
about.
Three is a deadly shot because if you leave it open and you make it consistently, you have to now spread the court so thin because it's worth 50% more points than that McLemore dunk.
So something I've been thinking of after these recent games, really, is how bad would this Auburn team beat that Virginia team from last year?
Well, I think it would be a really low-scoring game, which might play into Virginia's hand.
We wouldn't be trying to push pace as much in that game.
It's true, but... I think this team scores on that team. But
I think
more.
This team would beat the daylights out of this year's Virginia team.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think, I don't know about that. They were a 2 or a 7 seed or something. We were going to play them in the second round in one of the mock tournament things.
That good.
I don't know if they're going to do it. You know who else isn't going to make the tournament?
North Carolina.
Well, the other team we blew the doors off?
We just snatched our soul. That's all that. We are now North Carolina.
North Carolina and Kentucky have had a couple of issues.
It's like Highlander. We cut their heads off and the quickening happened. And
UNC and Kentucky
Ryan,
this
Highlander
year.
Highlander was a movie.
Number one,
and
a movie
TV show.
And then a TV show. Yes. Movie, great. TV show.
I love the TV show.
Sure. It's all right. It was on. Yeah. Better than La Femme Nikita.
Oh, well.
I thought about that because we were looking at TV today.
Silk Stocking.
And I saw La Femme Nikita. I was like, Sarah, there was a show, my wife. There was a show called La Femme Nikita that was very important to like...
Twice. There's been...
Seventh grade Drew.
There's been two.
Yes. The new one called like Nikita.
You can tell me that is anywhere between one and four words and I would believe you.
La Femme is a French word for the woman.
Yes.
Nikita is the woman's name. La Femme Nikita was a...
what is with
the television woman? Show on the... Oh, Ozarka Water. The television show on the USA Network. Characters yeah. Welcome.
Come on, before Burn Notice?
No, this was pre
Burn Notice is a successor to many of these shows.
La Femme Nikita was not a good television show.
Oh, no.
But it was... this was like JAG era... USA?
Well, JAG was JAG, awesome. JAG is a CBS show. JAG was just reruns on USA.
Right.
Yeah. There was also a show called Silk Stockings that came on at night.
These were all
that sound like a nighttime show.
Can we get 14-year-old boys
it seemed
and
vaguely,
then adults who think like 14-year-old
so the intro
boys
was vaguely pornographic?
Sure.
The show itself really wasn't, but they just wanted to get 14-year-old boys to watch it.
USA Network. Yeah. There's only
that
so much they were going to do.
Show? No.
I love Weird Science.
What were we talking about?
Oh, who cares?
We're
now Auburn
talking about Anthony McElmore.
Yeah, so we're this is the third slow start.
How bad
we had.
Would we be Virginia?
The difference between the Georgia game and the other game, Vandy game, Ryan has in here. It's absolutely right, Ryan. Great show notes.
Did my work today.
22 points, 9 rebounds. That's the bench contribution
again,
against Georgia, not including Anthony McElmore. As opposed to 5 points in the first in the Vandy game.
This podcast sponsored by Charboro.
There you go.
Now we're talking. It's not though, Vox. We don't sell our own ads.
No, we're just it's just the show notes were paid for.
If you need
by
to get
Charboro.
In contact with HR, I can do that.
Yeah, man. the bench played big time against Georgia, and Georgia's bench did not. And what that means is that when we go to our bench and we're still getting contribution, they can't rest guys like Anthony Edwards as much.
Right.
They rested him, actually.
A lot.
A ton more than I expected them to.
And Hammond's got in foul trouble later in the game and had to sit for most of the second half because they finally started calling fouls on him.
I'm always interested to see what coaches do with the one-and-done kid. The kid who's, like, guaranteed one-and-done.
Right. You don't want to get him hurt.
Well, yeah, but also,
you
got to
be responsible.
You're trying to win games.
Right.
You're trying to get these wins. So, like, how much... Are you going, we got to make sure we rest him so that he is a top five pick?
I think if you're Coach K, you don't care. Because I don't think you care about the kids.
Yeah. Well, and also like, but if you're Tom Crean, you know that if Anthony Edwards goes top five, you're going to get three more Anthony Edwards.
But if you overwork him and you get him hurt,
sure,
that's negative recruiting right away.
So Anthony Edwards is not just a piece. He's a piece to get other pieces. Which so, I think is something to think about with basketball recruiting.
To riff on that a little bit, more than Bruce Pearl winning games, Chuma Okeke getting drafted and the possibility of Isaac Okoro going top five is going to make Auburn's program sustainable.
All of a sudden, you're going to start getting
guys
pieces.
Want to come here.
If it's
they're
proven
like,
that...
I can do that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the one and done thing gets... repealed.
Sure.
Then it's going to be interesting to see our kids going to go, okay, well, obviously a guy can go there and go to the pros, even if he plays 2 years like Chuma did.
Right. Guys that it's going to, guys like Chuma and like Okoro that aren't like coming out of high school, they weren't.
Yeah, they're borderline top 50.
Right.
Because Anthony Edwards isn't that, and when the one and done rule is repealed,
he's gone.
Anthony Edwards is playing for the Suns.
Yeah.
Like,
he's playing not, with Jared Harper. Right
he's playing
now,
for the so. Hawks, not the Dogs, basically. Yeah.
It's guys like those two that weren't going to be first round draft picks that think, okay, well, I'll go play for Bruce, get in a year or two, then I'll go in the first round.
Right. Next week, the Auburn Tigers play the Iron Bowl of basketball, the IBOB. Next week,
like 2 days or a day from now, if you're listening to this. Yeah.
Well, Ryan has a next week in the show.
Well, it's because Ryan was
drunk. Last week and this week.
He's dipping into the scotch at work again.
Yeah, that happens.
Man, making me look bad. It's like, yeah, you're right. It's day after
It is said next week.
Edit that out, Jack.
It is said next week in every show notes since I've started doing them. And you just now saw it.
No, I'm just not reading it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
show notes.
Auburn goes to the hangar to play the Alabama Crimson Tide, who are a completely different team. Everyone's like, oh, same old Bama. False.
No.
This is a Nate Oates.
They were at the beginning of the season, I think, but now they've
nah. Nate Oates is a they were results wise, they are same old.
They're still 8-7.
The way they are getting those results, they are a fast paced 3-point shooting bunch. They are not boring old Avery Johnson basketball. They are Villanova style, Auburn last year style, moving the ball around, whipping the ball, fizzing the ball around the court. Fun team to watch. Look, if you're going to lose like that.
Well, sure, because you are going to screw around and get hot one night and beat somebody you're not supposed to. Which could be Auburn.
Could be
tomorrow.
Auburn. Look, yeah. Auburn.
Auburn's winning every game, guys.
This is a dangerous game.
Oh, yeah.
You want to know what Bama has a really big problem with this year?
Big guys?
Yeah, get their shot blocked. Yeah. They are
bad. We got some shot blockers, and it's not just Anthony McLemore. It's Isaac Okoro. And Dangelo Purifoy and Anthony McLemore.
Here's the problem with
Devin Cambridge coming in, just like smacking somebody.
Everybody else is higher on Devin Cambridge than I am.
I'm buying Devin Cambridge stock in every single chance I can get.
Is this one of those where you buy like the nickel stock and in a couple years, it's like, oh, this thing's worth $20.
Give me all the Devin Cambridge stock.
I'm extremely nervous every time he enters a game.
Nah, I'm buying stock in Devin Cambridge. And I'm buying stock in Devin Cambridge because... You talk about classic Malik. Cambridge reminds me a little of... He might be the...
A little bit.
The Orange True Podcast Classic Malik Player of the Year.
He is the perfect, like, 2015 Auburn player. Like, he would have been the best player in one of those teams.
He reminds me more of Horace than Malik.
Oh, Joe Burrow about to run this thing all the way in. What I think about... We actually need to do a... at the end of the basketball season, an Orange True Podcast Classic Malik Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Let Malik know about it.
Yeah.
And then make a trophy and literally give it to that player.
We should.
We absolutely should. Because it's not going to be.
Malik sign it first.
What'd you say?
Have Malik sign it first.
We should just show up to the basketball banquet outside and hand it to the player outside of the basketball.
Oh,
banquet.
We're doing this.
We'll dress absolutely. Up, we'll there.
Yes.
Yes.
We should rent tuxes.
Yes.
Yeah, just, orange. No, just coats. Just wear shorts.
There we go.
Yeah. The Orange Tree Podcast Classic Malik Player of the Year. Nominees so far are like, Devin Cambridge.
I bet you could get Pat Kime to give it out.
We're giving it out.
No. Out. Like he could be like our presenter. We're still there.
Right.
Sure.
We should get Malik to do it.
Yeah.
Guten Tag, Malik, wie geht's dir?
Guten Tag. You think he should learn some German? Surely he is.
Yeah, I could see Malik learning a lot of German. we've got Alabama,
got to talk to the ladies somehow.
It's kind of things.
The Froilines. The thing that makes me scared is Randy Moss.
Where's LSU?
He's not on the field.
His son plays for LSU. Oh, he scored a touchdown.
Did not know.
81, Thaddeus Moss.
Did not know that was his son.
Yeah, Moss.
Moss.
Kyra Lewis scares me more than any player on this court.
Bro.
I know.
Come on, man.
I know.
Kira.
Guys. Kira. Right, sorry.
It's the same conversation we had last week.
No. This is
the
different.
Same conversation.
Anthony Edwards is a surefire first-round player.
Sure.
Kira Lewis is a Jared Harper clone in a lot of ways.
Well, maybe freshman Jared Harper.
The statistician
freshman Harper beat some teams.
Told me that the guy we should be worried about is John Petty.
What? John Petty's a 50%.
John Petty scares me to death, too, because he shoots threes.
John Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yes.
There you go.
Mud Crutch himself, Tom Petty. That's a Tom Petty deep cut.
John Petty, who I think played for Wimp Sanders at this point. He's been there.
Yeah, he's that dude. But he's going to play in the NBA because he shoots 50% from three.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'7".
He's a rebounder too.
Yeah.
He's not short. So he's like Bryce, but he's tall.
Yeah. I wish Bryce was like 3 inches tall.
Bryce is starting in the NBA. If he's 3 inches tall.
I know.
Yeah.
Because he's a great defender. How many
times last year did we say, yeah, if Bryce was in Chuma's body.
He's barely taller.
Bryce is Danny Green.
He's barely taller than me. That's his problem, and it sucks.
He's Danny Green if he's freaking 3 inches taller.
But the other issue with Bama, though, is so John Petty is by far their most efficient scorer, and he's their fourth most used player on the offensive end.
Right.
Is he a tight end?
Yeah, he's a tight end. He's giant.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, John Petty has the worst hair in the country.
The worst! I'm glad that they're, you know, they had like five guys there that all had really bad hair.
That's how long he's been there, man.
I know.
His hairstyle was in style when he got there.
It is.
Careful. We'll get in trouble if you keep saying that.
It's bad hair. I don't think there's anyone on the planet that doesn't look at his hair and like, yeah, that looks stupid.
I mean, even Elfrid Payton had that haircut, and he cut it.
I like
even the, Colin Sexton, I got think, no problem cut
with
hair.
Dreads. I got a problem when you just look like you... you're trying to look crazy? I don't know.
He looks like a crazy person. It doesn't... He's not... That's the only look. He looks like he's a crazy person.
Looks like a homeless guy.
A little... More like, hey, man, I don't trust this dude. He's crazy.
It's like the Counting Crows guy.
Yes.
Except...
Adam Duritz looking guard out there. Adam Duritz, he's like 60 years old.
Man.
You guys talk about this game. I'm going to look up the age of Adam Duritz.
But yeah. See,
Petty's the one that scares me. I mean, if
Kira
Lewis, he's got like a 15 PER. He's not a good shooter. He takes the most shots on the team.
So what you're saying is we put Isaac Okoro on John Petty and we're good.
Sure. Him and Flan, yeah.
But who's going to
have the
problem with Kira is that he's so fast.
But he can't score.
But he gets past people. Like, it's easier to score five on four.
Wiley's there waiting on him at the basket.
Maybe not him, but he'll get past people and now it's 5-on-4. You have to shift. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody's open. Adam Duritz, by the way, is 55 years old.
It's close.
1964.
Yeah. Mr. Jones and me.
But if you took Kira's...
I've seen them play twice.
It's been a long December.
That's my... The people who I've seen play the most in concert, Me Without You, Explosions in the Sky, Counting Crows.
311?
I've seen Counting Crows play...
30 Seconds of Mars?
Are you a part of Counting Crows?
I wish, man.
Oh, you should be.
I saw them play at Red Rocks, and I saw Counting Crows play at
is Counting
tiny
Crows,
festival.
I want to see a show, just any show at Red Rock.
Is Counting Crows kind of like Spice Girls, where they all have the same like theme name?
Wait,
no.
So they're Son of Crows.
No one's name
you
is
You don't
Crow.
Know? Okay, all right.
Yeah, so the Counting
Mr.
Crows
Jones and Me, Long
Come
December.
On, guys.
Man.
Name some other songs, I don't know.
The Counting Crows were playing a small Italian village in Tuscany. And I happened to be in Pisa for a camp that I was leading of teenagers.
Oh, man.
Youth ministry, man.
Charmed life.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine and I found out, oh man, Counting Crows playing the day after this camp is over. Let's book our flights out 2 days after the camp is over. He and I get a hotel and we go see the Counting Crows. Come to find out, it's like some local community music festival, right?
And they're just like, hey, we're going to...
Three Italian artists from that town.
Yeah.
Fourth band, the Counting Crows. So what basically happened was they love Italy.
Oh.
They told their booker, we don't care where we're playing. We want to go to Italy. Get us a gig. He found them this like tiny,
awesome.
Literally city of whatever town.
Yeah.
Is having this like local community arts fair.
It's like a... It's like the Tuesday nights in the park in Opelika.
Yes. If all of a sudden at Monkey Park in Opelika, if the Counting Crows came and played there because they just love East Alabama. Same situation. East Alabama is the Tuscany of Alabama.
Of course.
As we know. So I saw him play there. And the whole time I was like, this is wild because there's like 90 people here until right before the Counting Crows show. Then it gets kind of crowded. But I was like, no one else is ever going to get to see.
That's cool.
Anyway, they're a pretty good band. Yeah, that was in 2016.
Way past the prime.
50, yeah.
But it's still fun.
They played three of their songs in completely, like, just in bluegrass. They just decided, we're doing, playing Long December bluegrass. Great.
I'm sure that went great in Italy.
Sure, they don't care.
They're all drunk on wine. Like, what?
They don't care.
They're hopped up on cappuccino and drunk on wine. That's all I know about the Italians. I don't know.
This town in Italy had pure drinking water fountains that just run constantly.
Yeah.
All over town. That
the Romans
put
aqueducts.
Yeah.
Oh.
how wild that is. It's a 2,000-year-old drinking fountains.
That's cool.
Anyway.
I should go to Rome.
Yeah, you should go to Italy's great.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, my wife thinks Italy is a public relations sham.
Yeah, really? It's
like a joke that has been played on Americans to think that rundown buildings are somehow charming.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think that's probably true.
But she's like, I don't know who did the PR for Italy, but they win. Literally, Chip and Joanna come into Italy and just clean house. But right now, it's just a bunch of old, crumbly old buildings, and everybody thinks, oh, that's so charming and wonderful. That guy catcalled me, and this other guy punched me in the face.
Europe, it's romantic. Probably sucks to be a woman.
It's so romantic.
It probably sucks to be a woman in Europe, right?
Yeah, Southern Europe. All right.
I feel like a lot of places, probably.
It sucks, yeah. Welcome to 2020. It's better now than it would have been any other time.
Oh, that's true.
It's kind of like, I have a friend who's who says that, you know, there's a reason why the stars of all the Time Machine movies are white men. Because nobody else wants to go back in time. All right. At Florida. Auburn plays Florida. That's a tough game.
Yeah. When's the last time we won a Florida?
This Florida team blows, but we can't win in Florida.
1996,
I believe, is the correct answer to that one.
Man, I might have been learning how to walk.
Jesus,
Ryan. 96. I got... No, I don't.
I probably had a ear infection about this time.
This is something you don't know, though, right?
I had one or two.
Florida basketball wasn't good until like 1998.
That's true.
So
Billy D.
Like,
Billy Donovan is the Bruce Pearl of Florida basketball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's going to hurt when he leaves the Hawks and then comes right back.
When Bruce Pearl goes and coaches the Thunder.
He leaves for the Celtics, but then doesn't actually leave.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Billy D.
And then a couple years later, he's going to go coach somebody else.
Yeah. The Thunder, and they don't really want him there anymore. All right.
Is he still there? Didn't know.
Yeah.
Is the Butler coach still at the Celtics?
He's crushing it.
Okay.
He's really good.
He struggled there for a second, right?
Yeah. He's really good.
Okay.
He's like the best out-of-bounds play drawer upper. Maybe in the history.
He also has Gordon Hayward. So
does he still look
great?
He's
not great.
He's
Gordon
not...
Hayward's trash, man.
Oh, really?
All of a sudden. Yeah, but he has sucks. Kimba
and
now.
Kimba.
All right. Man, we should have an NBA podcast, you guys.
We could talk.
Crow makes everyone watch
something.
The NBA and talk to
you
them
guys.
About.
You guys let us know. Here's one thing I want us to do one time soon ish is spend a little time, maybe 20 minutes of the pod, Ryan talking about what all the stats mean. How players are evaluated. Because this came to mind when I realized that some people didn't know how good Isaac Okoro was.
He's incredible.
Well, and he's a hard person even with stats.
Right. But that,
to kind of pin down. Because
that's also one thing I thought.
Defensive stats, like unless you've got like a really good software that's tracking players, it's really hard to kind of put a
in college basketball, defensive stats are tough. In NBA, they literally have player tracker. Software like Ryan was talking about.
Do the guys wear the
they don't have to.
In soccer sometimes?
They don't have to because the court's so small.
Court's small. Yeah, right.
So it's pretty easy for guys to track players. And it's like, the stuff they've got in the NBA is insane in terms of stats. They'll tell you how many feet guys
talk stats,
walked.
We can this is probably for when, as soon as the season's over, we can talk a little NBA and how guys.
You can find out how. If you pay enough money, you can find out which players go full speed the most.
Wow.
Yeah. And, chances are it's LeBron. He goes full speed a lot, actually. Which is wisely good. The guys who go full speed a lot, chances are they're usually
good. Especially now, he probably... Assumption here. I would think guys nearing the end of their career go full speed more than guys at the beginning.
I don't know, man. End of the career, the guys know they don't have that many full speed legs in them.
Well,
they gotta like
sure
old man game it up.
That's true. Carl Malone, where you're like,
have you seen Vince Carter play this year?
Yeah,
has he? Is he still
Vince playing? Carter? Man,
he's still in the league.
Congratulations,
the
Vince Carter!
First person to play in 4 different decades.
First guy in the history of the league, 4 decades.
That guy is what brought me back to the NBA after I was really not. Really
you should go back to it now. It's the best it's ever been.
Yeah. He's still there.
Well, he is still there.
He's still there. It's true. He's still there.
I should have voted for him on my All-Star ballot.
Guys, playing with somebody that was born after he made his debut.
That's true.
You were born 2 years before he made his debut.
Yes, Trae Young was born after
that. I remember Vince Carter playing for the North Carolina Tar Heels.
You and me both. Guys, we need to talk about the fact that we are a couple of days away from Bryce Brown.
I can't. I'm not going to make it. I want to go, and I just can't make it.
I'm already going to be in Atlanta.
He is playing.
If I can get some of y'all to go, yeah.
Take the MARTA.
What day is it? 13th?
College Station.
It's
College Park.
Today's the 13th.
MARTA runs out there, right?
The 16th?
Yes, it does, because it's by the airport.
Yeah.
It's on Sunday the 19th, I believe.
You going to take the MARTA?
No, except for I'll drive my way back.
Let me look into it. I might try to make that happen. The 19th, not that I don't have a job. It's really...
Yeah.
Well, I'm teaching English online. That's really nice.
Oh, your wife? Are you?
No, but she would be the person that would hire me now. Yeah, right. She got that job. But, yeah. So Auburn is, what does this mean? 344th in experience? That Florida?
That's Florida. They're all
10 years old?
They have a senior, Kenny Blackshear, who is amazing.
Yeah, he's really good.
And then it's just all freshmen, sophomores.
Then guess what? Everyone else there was born while I was in high school or after.
It's incredible.
Yeah, all those freshmen and sophomores would be 2000 or...
So yeah, while I was in high school.
Coming up, ESPN's going to tell us who the 11 greatest players in college football history. If Cam Newton's not on that list...
I got Jackson. We'll complain about it next week.
If Nick Marshall isn't top six.
Hey, how about Jimmy Johnson last night?
Ryan, come on, man. Nick Marshall didn't beat Alabama 2 years in a row.
Jimmy Johnson.
Nick Marshall never won a bowl game.
It's true. What a loser. Jimmy Johnson told he was going to be inducted into the
NFL. I like this thing, man. The NFL's doing this thing where they're doing it on TV.
That was cool. That was really cool. Him and Troy were both weeping openly on TV.
Had I been watching it live, I might have been.
I was watching it live, and at first I was like, what's going on here? And I was like, oh my God, that's really awesome. I got a little choked up myself.
Jimmy Johnson.
He coached my Miami Hurricanes.
He was my first football coach that I remember. Like a team of mine. Yeah, I played for Jimmy Johnson back with the Arkansas Rays. No, his first guy I remember being the coach, because that was my first team of my sports consciousness, was the 95 Cowboys. Like, I was 10 in 95. So, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan because of Jimmy freaking Johnson.
Sure.
And being growing up 2 hours outside of the stadium. Like,
yeah,
gotta.
He coached the first Miami teams that I really remember too.
I mean, him and Jerry Jones were on the same Arkansas Razorbacks football team together.
Right.
With Barry Switzer was an assistant coach, a position coach on that team.
Barry's older than both of those guys.
By like a year. Like he was a GA.
Yeah.
And so that team had two guys on it who would go on to win two Super Bowls for the Cowboys. And then a third guy coaching who would win another Super Bowl for the Cowboys. It's pretty incredible. Like, that Arkansas National Championship team. Meanwhile, Jerry apparently was taking his student allotment of tickets as a player and then buying his teammates' allotments of tickets from them and then scalping them outside the stadium before the game. And that's how he first started making money.
Is that how he bought the Cowboys?
No, that's how he realized he was really good at making
good
money.
Good businessman, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So,
if I had to ask you to create a player that would be a matchup problem for this Auburn team.
Oh, good question.
How would you, size, skills, what would you
He would with? Need to be about 6'8" and could shoot.
Like Hammonds.
He's
what, 6'10", maybe?
I think he's 6'8", 6'9".
If you're 6'8" and you can shoot threes from the outside, that's the one. That guy, I don't know who Auburn guards him with. Probably Okoro. Actually, this is really funny. The guy in my mind is like...
There it was. That was...
2000 dunk contest.
It's the only good dunk.
If you have Kevin Durant on your team, Auburn can't defend him. We don't have a guy who can do it.
So...
Sure.
If you've got a guy who's anywhere close to that size and can also shoot threes, I don't know, because we would have to, any place, let's say he plays five.
Oh.
Then Auburn really, that's really bad news for Auburn. I'll put it this way. Let's say.
So taller Charles Barkley would be.
Yeah, or like,
I think we just saw, we saw her again.
Pruitt?
It was Matty Pruitt.
Yeah, Matty Pruitt.
If a model of a shooting that thing from way downtown shirt.
Yeah. Let's say Isaac Okoro could make and shot you know, 50% from three.
Oh.
And was like,
we'd be unstoppable.
The center of an offense.
For one, we'd be the number one team in the country.
Right. So let's say
he would be the number one pick.
Yes.
A team had that dude on his team, on their team.
All right.
We can't defend that dude.
How does a senior, veteran, guy who's been around, 6'10", 250.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Shoots three or four threes a game. Hits 35% of them.
Yeah.
Leading scorer and rebounder. Shoots, 85% from the free throw line?
That's not good. I don't like this.
Does,
I don't like this.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Right, yeah, right. Blackshear, you're talking Kerry Blackshear. Kenny Blackshear, and Kerry Blackshear is close to the Auburn defense killer as we've seen this year, because you've got to play wildly on him. Because Mac, there's no chance Mac sticks him.
Yeah, think, what if
Mac might be able to play him out by the three point line, but
no, we don't play zone. Number one, chief zone is for cowards.
Well, I agree.
Number two, Okoro is too good of a man to man defender to play zone.
Well, I think box him one.
Yeah, but you limit Okoro's. I could see Auburn trying a zone against some teams, but I really think that you limit Okoro's talent playing him in his zone.
Yeah, because he just
You maximize Purifoy's talent playing him in his zone.
He locks one guy down for you, and
that's it.
Yeah,
but he can't lock Kerry Blackshear down. Now let's pretend if Bruce Pearl decides for whatever reason, I'm sticking Okoro on Kerry Blackshear. Okoro now is in the conversation for number one pick in the draft. If Kerry Blackshear goes, let's say, 6 points.
I really think Bruce thinks.
Four rebounds.
Bruce is pretty confident in Isaac's ability to guard anybody.
If he can really guard 1 through 5, because then that would mean he literally has. Because this past game, he guarded the one on Georgia's team quite a bit.
So I think, yeah. I think
he guarded Scottie Pippen Jr. a couple times on the court. Yeah, I watched
he guarded Saban Lee a little bit.
I think the thing is, I don't think this guy's going to be posting him up, right? So that's really the only thing you have to worry about with that size differential.
Right.
He can guard him out on the perimeter.
That's tough. I love Steven Dry. Gale Sayers is 10. Barry Sanders at 9. This is ESPN's 8. Dick Butkus. He was, yeah. Earl Campbell at 7. Oh, the Tyler Rose Earl Campbell. Red Grange at 6.
Oh, Cameron's going to meet him 1, right?
5. I think he may have been out of the rank. Jim Thorpe. Archie Griffin, the only 2-time Heisman Trophy winner at 4. Bo Jackson at 3.
Oh,
Herschel at 2. Man, come on now, dog. Jim Brown at 1. Oh, yes. Do you know Jim Brown was actually a better lacrosse player than football player?
I've heard that before.
They had to change the rules of lacrosse for Jim Brown. When Jim Brown played lacrosse, you were allowed to put your thumb over the ball while it was in your basket.
Oh.
And you could. That was it. He would just run people over and then score a goal. Wow. And so they're like, hey, look, we can't do that anymore because this guy's too good at that. He puts his hand over the ball, and then we can't get it from him because he'll run through
it. As someone who recently worked with teenagers, is lacrosse was like a big thing a few years ago. Is it like
huge thing in the Northeast?
No, Colorado. It was like huge. Yeah. There's like a lacrosse league here, but like I haven't heard much about it.
It's still pretty big up around Atlanta.
Yeah, people do it in Atlanta.
Down here.
It's rich people.
Here's the thing. Let's say you've got guys that were too cool for soccer. Or let's say you got a kid who, for whatever reason, doesn't want to be around the types of people who play basketball in American football.
You know
what I'm talking about.
Talking about racists?
Yeah. Okay. So then you need a sport for your kid to play. And you don't play soccer because that's for communists. He plays lacrosse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I was...
Before I get into trouble,
hey, Gale Sayers.
I think Bo's probably there. There he is. Let's sign off. You guys, we hope that LSU wins this game because I don't like Dabo.
Yeah.
And,
Bo knows.
Bo knows.